Welcome to Brains, Bibles, and Beyond, where we discuss theology and worldview apologetics. I'm Nate Day with Think Like Christ Ministries, and I'm here with our resident theologian Joel Willoughby with Brains and Bibles.
If you would like more information about our ministries, check out our websites, brainsandbibles.com and thinklikechrist.org. And on whatever platform you are using, please like, share, subscribe, do whatever else you know you should do to help us out.
If you have any questions, send them to podcast@thinklikechrist.org.
And all you budding theologians out there, go grab your favorite theological coffee receptacle and enjoy this episode.
All right, so we are back, and we are going to finish our wrap-up on the methods of evangelism. So this is the wrap-up of methods of evangelism, part two. And we're going to continue the conversation that Joel and I was having last time, and just kind of discussing more on methods. So
we'll get right back to that cliffhanger that you left us with, and then some unique things with the methods, a little something that was mentioned in one of the interviews. And we'll touch on that and have a little bit of a promise of a future episode there. And then, of course, why aren't people doing this?
Yes.
And that's the rubber meets the road there.
So our intent in this whole discussion is to just kind of give you some more tools in your tool belt for your own personal evangelism. Maybe give you a little motivation for it, help you understand the reasons why, and just take the pressure off. So we kind of wrap up with just some ideas of what you can do personally. Yep. This is the tricky part here, though. So, we've beat this to death now. Build friendships with people. I think we're getting that point across.
There's
all kinds of other methods. This is the one that was common through all of them, though. Every one of these missionaries, hey, just go meet somebody, become their friend, tell them about Jesus. And that right there is the hard part. How do you transition from, hey, how was the soccer game Saturday to, you know what, where's your soul going when you die?
Right. Absolutely.
And you transition to that spiritual talk then. Mm-hmm. So how do we do that in an easy way? Because sometimes it's going to be awkward. Sometimes it feels awkward to us, or we're scared or whatever.
Sure.
Or we feel like we're pushing it when it's not really there, but gosh, you feel guilty if you didn't.
Right.
I had a chance, but I didn't say anything. We've all probably been there where we're like, oh man, I should have said something, I didn't. Well, how do we then bring that up? That's the point of this whole thing.
I do remember a couple answers that we got during the interviews. And I think there was actually more, but there's a couple that stick out in my head. I remember Carlos Montoya, and he was talking about, he just go talk to someone and say, well, what do you do on the weekends? A very common, safe, non-threatening question.
Yeah, right.
Very, very casual. What do you do in the week to someone you work with? Anything. They'll tell you. And you listen intently. You ask questions. Well, guess what's going to happen eventually? They're going to say, what do you do on the weekends, right? And so and I guess maybe not, but it's a safe bet.
Some people just are so lacking in people skills, they don't actually ask questions back. But generally, someone would return the same question.
But they will, usually. And if they don't, I think there's a natural way. You can say, oh, well, that's really cool. Maybe sometime I'd like to try that too. What I normally do is, so it's still a natural thing to do. And so what did Carlos say? He says, well, we go to church.
Yeah.
And let me tell you why we go to church. We love it. This is why it's foundational. It's so important for us. Of course, I'm paraphrasing. You have to go back and listen to the episode.
Yes.
But that's the idea.
Yeah.
And then I think it was, let's see, it was, I think Diego with this one. I should have wrote this down. Was kind of semi off the top of my head here. And so he was talking about, looking at talking about the news or politics, something like that, looking at the corruption. And you look around and it's obvious that there's evil, corruption, there's suffering, things like that. And so it's kind of the basic idea of, what is evil? Why is it here? What's the remedy? Kind of idea.
Yeah.
And just get people talking, and they'll get talking about it. And you can so easily start talking about Christ with those sort of things too, as everything was good and perfect. And then it was mankind that sinned, and he gave that plan of redemption. That's how it's going to get fixed and everything. I like going through the worldview questions, basic worldview questions, use in your own words, right? Sure. And you're, you know, be natural.
It don't have to be the Joel version of the question, but no, not everybody's a theologian though, like you and versed in all worldviews, but sure.
But there's some basic ideas. Yeah, it's a
good one to bring out.
I think to keep it simple, I'll put it this way. Where do we come from? Why are we here? Mm-hmm. Where are we going? So, you know,
those are questions people ask.
Origin of existence.
If they don't know.
Okay. Purpose of existence, and then future existence, you know, after this earthly life, right? Those are huge things that, you know, people have probably at least casually thought about before.
Mm-hmm. Why am I here?
And then, you know, the nature of truth, that's a big one. What is truth? How do you find truth? People will answer so many different ways. And I got your shirt on today too. Think Like Christ Ministries.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Yeah, look at that.
We're buddies.
You're dressed up lots more spiffy than I am.
All right. Well, I try. Yeah. who's in charge? You know, who's your ultimate authority? Who can make you do something you don't want to do? That's a good question. That's a thought-provoking question.
Yeah.
Who can make you do something that you don't want to do? And the answers to that are just fun.
Yeah, and there's all kinds of answers to that one.
And the evil and suffering thing we already talked about, but those are the basic worldview questions.
Yeah, if you don't remember the evil and suffering, you go back to Is God Good? We did a whole series on that.
Yep.
And it's fantastic.
It is good.
Very worth.
Is that a 4-part series? That one, Is God Good?
If I remember right,
I think it is.
And we've probably done 2 or 3 years on it.
definitely.
There's a lot there.
That's definitely
When you talk about the character of God, it can really. We're hitting the cliff note versions of these things.
If you were to cover every scripture that dealt with that idea, it'd be almost the entire Bible.
I read slow too, so it would take a while.
Well, so I had this like kind of a wrap up idea for all the things that are common and just good methods.
Okay.
Be visible to people, be available to people, and be aware of people. In other words, what's going on in their lives, what's affecting them on every scale.
So in other words, stop being selfish and realize that other people exist, right?
Yes. Yeah. Well, I just kind of have the same kind of like overlapping thoughts here, but be loving people, pray for people.
Yeah.
And I think this big one that we remember for ourselves, be a worthy disciple-making tool in the hand of God. So we're recognizing that God is using us. We are happy to be with him, not him. He's happy to be with us. Like, oh, I got a Joel Willoughby. I can finally do some things. Yeah. You know, that's never how it works.
God's been waiting for 6,000 years for Joel Willoughby to finally show up and do something.
That'll be the day.
Well, you know, and the praying for people, this can be so effective, at least as a breaker, icebreaker, especially to get to a spiritual conversation.
Yep.
You know, asking someone, if you find somebody in need of some kind, asking if you can pray for them.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, so often, you know, you hear people talking about, you know, how their life stinks in some form or other.
Yeah.
And you say, hey, you know what? Can I pray for you? Almost always, they say, well, yeah, of course. Yep. I mean, you might take them off guard, but whoever's turned out to prayer, I mean, they don't even know who you're praying to, but that doesn't even matter to them.
Yep. That's right.
But we know prayer is effective, and we know God listens. And this is a great way to break that ice with them as well. So,
mm-hmm. Yep, that's really good. And, you know, just even praying just for opportunity and courage. Those are Paul's two favorite prayer requests, and as in Paul the Apostle. And not just some random guy we have in the back here. But
yeah, some dude named Paul.
who wants one of those? Okay. All right. So the unique things, this is what I thought was funny. Almost nothing.
Yeah.
If you actually line up everything they've said, the missionaries about evangelism and whatnot, I mean, it's really only things that are very specific to a specific culture or maybe a time of year, some kind of a political atmosphere and economic environments, you know, that kind of a thing. But those are always changing things, always things in flux. And it's kind of just being aware.
Yeah.
That idea.
There was
the same.
Almost all of them said so much of the same stuff. I mean, in practice, it may be a little different, some of the details and how we go about doing this, but it was all about building relationships, building friendships, getting to know them, and sharing the gospel for the purpose of sharing the gospel, and then actually doing that.
Yeah.
And that can be done in even different ways. So,
yeah.
But it really all came down to that. So there wasn't a whole lot of differences. Very, very minor.
I'll say Carlos and I talked about something, and we're not going to talk about that right now, but we talked about seminary, and I think it should be a whole episode. So I'm gonna hold off on that one. There's controversy there.
A lot of talking on seminary.
Yeah, that's a lot. I mean, I've been to seminary. Doesn't mean that I think it's.
I know where a seminary is.
It was where people go to, you know, when they're dead, they get buried.
Right? Yeah, yeah. No.
Oh, that's, cemetery. That's cemetery. Cemetery school. Okay, yeah, yeah.
Seminary school. Is... Yeah, yeah. No, seminary. Yeah. Yeah, seminaries are good.
Well, you know, so
it can be good.
There's controversy though, and I'm willing to talk about it, and I think there is a lot to talk about. So just a list of questions to whet your appetite for a future episode here.
I'm looking at your notes. These should we do this sometime?
Oh yeah, I gave this. Should we have seminaries or not? Should all seminary training be accomplished or at least overseen by a church? Can one local body of believers help train others? Knowledge puffs up. How is seminary good? Are we preparing people for ministry well? Well or not, what could be done better? And of course, you know, the point of it all, seminary, right, should be to make disciples and do it better, right? That's essentially it.
That's pretty much the point of all Christians, right?
It's, well, you know, you could break it down. The most base element is to glorify / worship God,
yeah,
right? That's everything. And then it breaks down into more subsets. Yeah. Make disciples is like the big, like your physical thing that you are doing.
True.
That glorifies and worships God, you know? So it's
the last thing Jesus told us to do before he left.
Yeah.
Go make disciples.
You can't think of one command in the New Testament after the Gospels specifically. I got, you know, New Covenant. And so you can't think of one command that does not fit under make disciples. You know, unless it's your personal worship, right? That's the only other thing, because that's the broadest thing.
I never really thought about it.
All the one another commands. Challenge? There's like 60-something one another commands. That's making disciples. Because you're teaching them to be learners, imitators, followers of Christ in the old rabbinical tradition. That sort of idea. There's a sort of a definition over here that no one can. Well, I guess they can, if they're looking at YouTube.
They probably can't read it.
They can see some of that. That's on the board there. But
that's for future content. If you come to our events, you may hear some of those notes.
That sounds good. Okay. Anyways,
it will be epic.
We've taken a lot of time. I don't want to take too much time on this. I think there's just a little more I just want to point out.
Yeah.
I think a big thing that we have to talk about before we close up is, you know, why aren't people doing it?
Yeah. You know, you talk about it, you make it sound so easy.
Right.
Just go, hey, stick your hand out and say, hi, I'm Joel. What's your name?
Right? Yeah.
What's so hard about that?
That sounds great.
What's so hard about that? Oh, hey, you need Jesus. Let me tell you about him. Mm. What's so hard about that? Well, it's not quite that easy, first of all. I mean, we're probably oversimplifying it for the sake simplifying it, right?
Right, you need to. But it's simply like, you know, you got to just
do it. It's not a complicated thing.
Yeah.
So why don't we do it more?
Right.
I mean, what holds us back? Because it's rare you meet a Christian who doesn't say, I need to witness more. Almost every Christian I've ever met in my entire life will say, you know what, I need to do better than this. All of them.
Yeah.
I mean, I may have met one or two that, like, you know what, I've witnessed to every person I've ever had a chance to. I mean, you don't get that often. Almost everybody's like, you know what, I need to do this better.
Yeah.
So why don't we do it better? We all know we're supposed to. We have the tools and the gifts. God gives us those.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't we? And that's a big question.
Yep.
So, I mean, there's some reasons.
Start us off down that path, and then I'll chirp in.
Well, so a lot of it's just fear. You know, we're afraid.
Yeah,
whatever.
Yeah,
I think so. We don't like the awkwardness, or we're shy. Mm-hmm. Personally, I am very shy in certain situations. Other ones, people don't think I am, but, you know, I am a shy person by nature.
Yeah.
Lots of people are.
Right.
Never in the Bible, when Jesus was ascending to heaven, he said, go make disciples unless you're shy. I mean, he didn't say that.
Right.
So, you know, there's no excuse. You know, sometimes we're afraid. We don't like the awkwardness. You know, thinking of them burning in hell for eternity, that should be awkward too. But it's more awkward for us to tell them about Jesus than the fact that they're going to be punished for eternity. So it doesn't make sense logically, but we still get stuck in these things.
Yeah.
So why is that?
Well, I mean, you did say fear. What are we fearing? We're fearing man instead of God, right? That is essentially what it is. Now, I think a lot of that fear is rational. It's wrong, but it's rational. Like you can rationalize it, is what I'm saying.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Right, right. And so
we always can make excuses for ourselves.
But
and we do.
That's the idea of just you're just not being heavenly minded. You're not fearing God more. You're not loving God more. You know, that's what it comes down to. That's kind of convicting.
You know, I hear a lot too. I don't have any friends, or, you know, I don't know anyone that doesn't go to church.
Lack of opportunity. Right.
You know, that's, you know, you always hear that, and which, yeah. You know, I get it. You know, I lived in the country. I was homeschooled. I didn't have any friends, you know, that didn't go to church. I had that growing up too. You know, I get that, but you know what? There were still other people that existed. Believe it or not, you do meet people.
Yes.
Even if you don't have any friends.
You know, gas station, grocery store.
Yeah.
There's always
maybe people. Played Little League baseball, you know, there's opportunities to meet people. But what's our priorities, you know? So anyway, what are other reasons? And fears, I think to me, fear is the biggest one. We're just afraid.
I think so.
We're all a bunch of cowards. And me included. I know me included. I mean, I have missed so many opportunities because it might've been awkward, or, you know, you justify in some way. Well, yeah, I wanted to, but I just don't think it was the right time. And it may or may not have been. You were really just didn't want to do it, or you may want to do it. You're just afraid to do it. So
let's get a little more specific on the fear.
Yes,
I think because you can have a fear of rejection.
Yeah,
and that's a thing. Yeah, and we have to remember that they're rejecting Christ, not us. We're just the person that they see, the physical. There is a rejection, but it's not really. If you know scripturally, look at that. It's not really that they're rejecting us.
Yeah,
they're rejecting God, and so we have to have that perspective. We have to understand, you know, what the Bible says about evangelism, that most people will not believe, mm-hmm. the minority will. God gives the increase. We don't have control over who gets saved. We plant, and we water, but, you know, we do through our gardening, but we don't actually give the increase. And so I think we're putting too much pressure on ourselves to win, in a sense.
Yeah,
you know,
I have to talk this guy into it.
I got to do it. It's up to me.
No, it's not.
I think we back off a little bit. And so when you expect rejection, you hope for the best but plan for the worst kind of idea. I think you're gonna do a lot better. I think it's gonna be okay.
No. The other thing too, you hear this. I'm sure you've heard this too a lot. Is, you know, I don't really have to witness. I just, you know, live a good life. Oh, yeah, you know, and. Somehow everyone would just magically know I'm a Christian, start going to church, and
yes.
You know, then you have the thing, well, you know, it's not really my job to witness, that's why I pay a pastor, but, you know, maybe I can invite someone to church and he can tell them the gospel. Yep, you get a little bit of that too, which, you know, that's better than not doing anything, but, you know, start somewhere.
You know, yes, I've heard people say we should live our lives in such a way that we do not need to use words to share the gospel. Yeah, that kind of idea.
Yeah,
and I thought
that too.
That's horrible. I you know, at first I was intrigued by it.
It sounds good.
It did.
It sounds good.
There was something that didn't quite sit right with me.
Yeah, but it
sounded good. Mm-hmm. Like the words, and then all of a sudden it was like the most obvious thing in the world. I go, wait a minute, God commands us to use words to share the gospel.
Yeah, you know, it's a spiritual sounding justification for our sin.
Yeah.
You know, and we're all guilty of those little things from time to time, but there's so many people that believe it wholeheartedly, though.
Right. Like, yeah.
You know, I've even had people tell me there's nowhere in the Bible where it teaches us to go witness to people. I don't know what Bible they're reading, though. Like,
yeah, that makes sense.
None. It doesn't make sense at all. But they hold to this idea that you just live a good life and people will just see how good we are and they'll come begging us for what it is we have, and yes, that can happen.
Right.
But then you still have to use words.
So I think we have fear of rejection, and I think that's specifically that I don't want to lose this person completely. You know, I think another like just it's almost the same thing.
Push them away.
Yeah. Yeah. The almost same thing is like people say, "Man, I'm just going to make it worse. I'm afraid that I'm going to mess up so bad." That it would actually be better for me not to have said anything.
Yeah.
And so I've had that, you know, I think that's a lot of it is because people have not seen it done. Sadly,
yeah, part of it.
Many, many Christians have not actually seen someone else share the gospel to another. And so then they try to think back to, well, how did I learn about the gospel? And then, you know, for some people, it's a long time ago.
Yeah.
And they're trying to think through it. And they're like, well, I don't know. I guess I was just sitting in a Sunday school class or, you know,
yeah.
Or maybe, you know, well, my mom just, I was scared and asked my mom a question and she told me, you know, something like that. It could be. So then you're thinking, well, how do I just do that one thing, you know? And they get a little confused. So, you know, like what I do, and I mean, you'll set up conferences and you'll have camps and stuff and you'll talk about the gospel and whatnot too. But now I'll specifically how to share the gospel, you know, go through a whole deal. And I don't know how many times when I've done one of those conferences, and even just recently I did one, well, when I say recently, April 14th recording. And so it was, you know, yeah. Recently I was at a church in Ohio and you know, talking about how to share the gospel and what a great benefit it was. So many people that were saying, you know, I just never had a clue. Never had a clue.
Yeah.
Now I feel confident. Now I feel like I have tools in my belt. Now I can go do it, you know. And so I think it's a legitimate thing.
Yeah.
Just a lack of discipleship, lack of preparation.
Yeah. I mean, it's sad in that area. You know, and one of the mentors in my life, he always taught that like, you know, we teach our boys to, you know, use power tools and do this work around the house, mow the lawn and all these, you know, manly things, go hunting, fishing, and all these traits that we'll teach them, but we don't take them out witnessing with us. Well, a lot of times it's because the father's not going out witnessing, yeah, but then when right. they do, they would leave their sons at home.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
The most important thing you do is go teach your son to do that.
Right, right.
You know, you know, and I don't do that enough. I know that. But the ministry we do, we try to involve our children with as much as we possibly can. Because I want them to learn from us. I want them to see the mistakes that we make and recognize the mistakes, because we're not going to pretend like we didn't make them.
Right.
Talk about them. Say, hey, you know what? We didn't do this as best as we could. How could we do it better? And hopefully when they're older and they're doing ministry, whatever that is that God calls them to do, they won't make the same mistakes their father did. Mm. And hopefully they can improve. And I mean, we need to teach our kids to do ministry and to love God. And what does that mean? And how do we love people? You know, sometimes that means it might be uncomfortable. And teach our kids that being uncomfortable is okay. But we don't do that because we don't even want to get out of our comfort zone. And then if we did, we don't want our kids to see it, you know,
and
it's sad because then the next generation grows up and they're in the same boat. Well, how do I do this? We all know we're supposed to share the gospel. Yeah. Maybe the problem is I just don't know how. I'm afraid because I'm not very confident. I don't know what to say. I know the gospel, but how do I share with someone?
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, it's just a lack of training a lot of times. And we just keep kicking the ball down the road and say, well, you know what? Hopefully my kid gets it.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll have the gift of evangelism because I don't have it, you know?
The gift. Yes. Yes.
You know, you hear that so many times too, you know, so it's like, anyway.
Yeah, you're right. And you said the, you know, the fear of being uncomfortable. I think that was the next big fear thing I want to go to, but I was going to say this, fear of missing out. So the idea of the time, energy, sacrificed, conveniences, sometimes sacrificed, comforts of life sacrificed, to commit to a lifestyle of evangelism. So not just a quick little one-off, but you're actually living this out. people are fearing that they're going to be missing out on this earthly life. You know, the old idea of a bucket list. Man, I got to get this stuff done before I die. Because can you imagine getting to heaven and not having done X, Y, Z on earth, whatever it is? You know, I never made it to Mount Everest.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to look at heaven and go, oh, man.
Is there supposed to be seashells up there? That's what I hear.
Yeah, there is.
I hear that. I've never been there.
That's another topic.
I'll have to put that on my bucket list.
Yeah. Well, so
That's the thing. Actually, if you could read the whiteboard behind you, you know, there are certain costs to following Jesus. Some of those are your time's not your own anymore.
Well, I can't read your handwriting up there. I don't know.
Yeah, most people can't. That's hieroglyphics. You didn't know I could write in a different language.
Something.
I'm the only one that has to be able to read it. So.
Yeah, well, I call it talent. So, sorry.
Yeah.
Well, you know, so I think there's
freehand.
There's more we could probably throw out here with this, but just to kind of wrap it up, the idea: how do you overcome this? You know what? I think it's all about discipleship. Find people that are more mature spiritually than you are, and team up with them. Even if you have to start with a pastor or something, and just say, "Hey, look, this is where I'm weak. I need to get better." How do you share the gospel? Well, let's go do it together.
And let's be honest with each other. Most of us are weak in this area.
Well, yeah.
I mean, yeah. You're telling me all the time about the people you witness to, but I mean, I'm sure you could do it better still, but there's people like me, like, I am very weak in this area.
Yes.
Most people I know are. So, right. Let's be honest. You're not alone. if this isn't your strong suit, you're not alone.
And with weak, I want to be cautious with that to make sure we understand what we're saying. Cause I'm pretty sure we're in agreement, but I just want to make sure that we understands. Sure. Cause it's like, was Jesus weak in evangelism? Obviously not.
Yeah.
He was strong in everything. That was good. Yet, out of his 12 that he picked, he lost one. How many people, even with all the miracles he did, with living a perfectly righteous life, there were still many that rejected him.
Oh yeah.
And so what standard am I holding myself up to?
It's not a percentage of who says yes. It's an obedience of doing it.
Right.
So a lot of us just, yes. we don't get it. We don't get any rejections because we don't do it. And that's the problem.
Yeah.
And we all have our excuses and our reasons. And that needs to change. That's the answer.
There needs to be a commitment.
So what are some motivating factors then that would help us at least mentally say, you know what, I need to do better in this area because of this?
You look at anything that's hard that you dread, but you know is good for you. So something like
exercise.
I was gonna say, guys like us. The first things that come to our head is something like diet and exercise.
Well, and it's for some of the same reasons. I don't have time.
Right.
I'm too busy.
Exactly.
There's more important things to do. You know.
Absolutely.
And I'm a little afraid.
all the things. It's so uncomfortable. Yeah. All the same things. And so what's some of the biggest things? You got to have your accountability partner.
Yeah. And that's
the same idea. The discipleship partner, right? But it's the person that you're going to say, hey, we're going to commit to sharing the gospel. You hold me accountable. I'll hold you accountable. We'll pray together. We'll go through, evangelistic passages of scripture together. Mm-hmm. We'll practice with each other, whatever it is. And you think of how silly it may seem in a living room alone with one other person that's a Christian, you're sharing the gospel with them. You think, oh, that feels uncomfortable, but it's going to feel real good when now you know what you're saying, especially in the nervousness of the moment. Sometimes things don't shake out as clearly as you thought earlier. And so that practice does help.
Practice helps.
But I think, don't wait until you think you're so polished. Just get out there. And the gospel's resilient. You got to remember that. The gospel's resilient.
Remember, God works even though we're weak, right? Mm-hmm. Like the weaker you are, the more glory God gets. So go out there and give God some glory.
Because when someone trusts in Christ, after someone trembles through a gospel message, God gets more glory.
Yeah.
But the person that's super eloquent, and you might just think it's their physical abilities that did it,
It's like the used car salesman. You show up in your polyester suit and your super wide tie, and you got all smooth talking sales jargon. No one really wants that. They want real and authentic.
Yeah.
Even though you're afraid, you're still going to take the time to share this with me.
Yeah.
What's that? It must be important to you.
Yep.
So.
Well, I've told people, I said, I'm sorry it's taking me this long to bring this up. This is super important to me.
That's a good phrase to have.
Yeah. I've done this before.
Yeah.
And I've said, I'm ashamed that it's taken me this long, but as much as I'm ashamed, I'm even scared to come and talk to you right now, which already takes a lot to say this, Right. But once you start going through it, then
once you start, you're good.
And then you just go, I need to tell you about Jesus Christ because I know he's real. I know he saves lives. And you need him. And I want to talk to you about that.
Yeah.
And usually, I've done this authentically, and I've always had it's usually actually been an emotional response. Hearts get tender.
Sure.
Things like that. Yeah. Because they see it's real. It has to be real. We've said that over and over again. But, the big thing.
People know if you're faking.
If you go through our whole podcast and go through our ministry materials and things, this is kind of what I've come up. So this is just, Nate is not representing this necessarily, unless at the end of it, he says, I agree. But this is really my thing, but as a brains and Bibles deal. So we must have a Christ/gospel-centered biblical worldview. So I'm going to use terms here that we haven't used in this series, but you have to go through all the material. We must have a Christ/gospel-centered biblical worldview, equipped with apologetics and polemics. I know we didn't talk about that. To maximize making disciples, which strengthens local churches, which ultimately glorifies and worships God. It's one big long sentence with lots of stuff there.
I'm sure that was good if I knew what those words meant.
Yeah, well, so you have to stay tuned for more episodes.
Or you could take the thing like Christ method, and Jesus said, go out and make disciples. Yeah, and just go do it, man.
He sure done did.
Yeah, just go do it, man. You have a little courage, you know. Make a goal. Yeah, you know, a lot of times, you know, we're goal-oriented. You know, make a goal. This year, I'm going to tell one person about Jesus.
Yeah.
Make it a goal. Hey, you get it done, you can always change a goal to two. But, you know, make a goal and go meet a new friend if you can. If you have none, go make one and tell them about Jesus. You might even find out they're already saved. It makes it even more fun.
Don't ever make results your goal. Don't ever do that. Effort. No, make effort the goal.
You can't make your goal. I'm gonna get a person saved and make them go to church with me.
Right.
Your goal can be, I'm going to tell one person who I don't know about Jesus this year.
That'd be a good goal.
That would be a good goal.
It'd even be something like, I'm going to pray specifically, 15 minutes a week, specifically for sharing the gospel.
Yep. God, give me bravery. Give me courage.
Yeah.
Give me opportunities.
Think about certain names of people, what they're going through. Help me love people. Help me to be available. Help, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Those are good goals to have.
Yeah, absolutely.